Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the one we worship this day. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading from Job 38. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, you teach us, blessed are they that hear your word, that keep it. As we continue to hear today, bless us with your spirit and give us faith and understanding and comfort and peace and strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you feel sorry for today? Anyone you feel sorry for today? Empathize with, sympathize with, feel for? Well, listening around this week, we're all supposed to feel very sorry for Butch Jones and Tennessee football. We're young, we're inexperienced, we got a murderous schedule in the SEC. We're going to get clobbered by Oklahoma, right, Steve, an Oklahoma fan? So 5-7, maybe 6-6, maybe a bowl game. I think they'll do all right. Don't feel too sorry for them. Especially Butch, I think he's making plenty of money, don't you? And don't we all feel sorry for the children today? Going back to school. Parents, aren't you feeling sorry, and grandparents, for the kids? Go back to school. Don't feel too sorry for them, I think. Many of them are kind of anxious, ready to go back. It's been a kind of a long summer, although fast. You read the Bible, you know you feel sorry for people in the Bible. I do. Empathize with them. I always kind of felt sorry for Abel, killed by Cain. I felt sorry for Joseph, sold as a slave by his brothers to Egypt, although God blessed him tremendously. I always kind of felt sorry for Elijah, Jeremiah, most of the prophets that were hated, condemned, pushed aside, kind of lonely men. Certainly we feel sorry for Peter. Peter in the gospel lesson, we kind of giggle and smile, trying to walk on water, Peter, and you're sinking and drowning. We've all been there. But perhaps the most tragic figure in the Bible that we all feel sorry for, in a way, would be Job. Job, what a man to feel sorry for, in a way. He was the greatest man on earth. He had everything. He was righteous. He believed in God. Wow, what a fella. And in one day, he loses everything, if you know the story. In one day, he loses all 10 children, a tornado, a whirlwind comes, and destroys the house. 10 kids die in the same day. He loses all his possessions. Raiders come in and steal everything, kill all his servants. He himself then goes up on the garbage dump of the city and cries and mourns. He gets a skin disease and he has to sit up there and itch himself with broken pottery. His wife says to him, curse God and die. His friends come and basically say, Job, what did you do? You must be some horrible hypocrite and sinner that God's against you this way, that you lose everything in one day, so he has no friends. We feel sorry for him. Loss and grief, he is a lot like Peter, sinking and drowning. And yet, oh, how God loves Job. How God so loved Job. And in chapter 38, God begins to speak to Job. The first 37 chapters of Job, Job is talking to his friends or talking to God. And Job's saying, why God, why God, why God? Why does this happen to me, God? What's going on, God? Come and talk to me, God. Tell me something, God. And God in his great love and mercy, the God of the universe, would come down and talk to a man who asked him to. That's grace right there. And in about four chapters, 38, 39, 40, and 41, God speaks to Job, and God questions Job. A real good test here. Job's in school already. And God asks Job about 70 questions. And we have a sample of those questions here in our Old Testament reading. And in these questions, God is humbling Job. You can see that when I read that reading. It's very humbling. God is saying, just who do you think you are, Job? You're a piddly little human being. I could squish you like a bug if I want to. Who are you to question me and what I'm about in my life and what I'm doing with you in your life? I'm God. You're a piddly immune. Who are you to question me? There is a humbling of Job. Don't be so proud and egotistical and realize who you're talking to here after all. But as I read the words, there's a lot more good news. This is where God is sticking out his hand to Job, as the Lord stuck out his hand to Peter and pulled him up. And then God in his word here is sticking out his hand to Job and pulling up a sinking soul. And maybe you're sinking today and feel like you're drowning and very lonely and grieving and have losses in your life. And God would reach out his hand and pull us all up in these words. God points Job to two things. You're sinking, you're drowning, grieving, suffering. God ever points us to two things where he picks us up. First of all, in these words in Job 38, God points Job to creation. He points him to the wonders of creation. And he mentions four parts of creation that God has control over, that God made, God controls. He points him to the foundation and cornerstone of the earth. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, the cornerstone of the earth? Where were you, Job? Look at what I made. I made this mass earth, and I take care of it and make it turn and give life on it. Where were you when I did all that, Job? Look at what I've done and continue to do on this earth. Then he points him to the oceans and the seas and how God set limits to the oceans. There's hurricanes and there's tsunamis. And yet God has control over all the raging oceans. Look at how powerful I am, Job. How great I am. Points him to the morning. Have you ever made the morning come up, Job? Can you make the sun rise? And this reminds us of the planets and the sun and the earth rotating and going around the sun. Wow, what a God to make all this stuff. And works out in such great harmony, although it's under the curse of sin. And then God points him to death. Have you entered death, Job? Do you know what death is? The deep recesses of death? The Lord's the Lord of death too. He punished mankind with death when mankind sinned. And so God is saying, look at all these big, massive, big things that I've done and control. And the point is this. If I can control all these big, wonderful things, the foundation of the earth, the morning, the seas, and the oceans, and death itself, if I have control over all of that, can I not take care of you, little man? You're one little individual on this earth. I can take care of you. I'll work it for good. I can take care of the whole earth and the universe, and you don't think I can take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. Just you wait and see. Where 4,000 years from now, a preacher at First Lutheran will be talking about you and how I kept you in the faith. And you'll be an example for the ages. Oh, you of little faith. You know, you surprised me as a congregation 2 weeks ago with that marvelous 25th anniversary celebration. It was great. And the buffet line of food. I mean, I can smell food a mile away, Pat. I couldn't smell that food somehow that day. And the pastors being here and the worship service and family being here and the decorations down there and President Pavla being here and my and lots of people here. And wow, you guys really pulled that off. Now, if you guys can do that, because you're such a great congregation, you guys can do that. If I want a peanut butter cracker after church, can you get me a peanut butter cracker after church? No one's volunteering, I see. Well, of course you can. When we can get this buffet of food and the celebration, Pastor, we'll get you a peanut butter cracker. Might even get you two if you really want one. It's an argument of greater to lesser. If you can do this big thing, you can do the little thing. God can do the big thing. The earth, the foundations, the seas, the oceans, the morning, the planets, and death itself. God can take care of us in our lives and work everything for good. Total control over your grief, your sickness, your disease, your trouble, your burden. He'll work it all for good. But there's more. Much more. In these words, God not only says, look at creation as he's picking Job up, drowning. But also in these words, God is pointing Job to Christ. These are words that speak of Jesus Christ. We know the love of God, not just by looking at creation. That is a lot, how God loves us. He takes care of everything out there, take care of me. But above all, we know the love of God because he gave us his son, John 3:16. Our kids will hear it a lot this year. We should ever teach that. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And these words point to Christ. You're sinking, you're drowning. Look at creation and look to Jesus above all. Notice the specific four things God refers to here. He talks about the foundation and cornerstone of the earth. Were you there when I laid it? Ah, the brain begins to work. Who is the foundation and cornerstone of the earth? Other than who? Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation, our chief cornerstone. That's what the Spirit's alluding to. God laid that foundation on Christmas. A little baby's the foundation of the world. He officially laid that foundation on Good Friday as he laid Christ in a tomb, bearing the sins of the world in our hell. Look to Jesus. He's the foundation when you're sinking. He'll hold you up. And God refers to the seas and the oceans, and he sets limits to their power. Look at all the powerful water. Ah, the brain begins to work. What is the most powerful water God has given to us other than the water of holy baptism? And here there are no limits to God's grace or mercy. Look at the power of your baptism is what the Spirit is saying. Look at the power where God washes away sin. Hurricanes don't wash away one sin. Tornadoes don't take away sin. Tsunamis don't take away sin. But this little bit of water, because the Holy Spirit is there, God's Word is there, that water washes away sin every day. That water gives eternal life and the resurrection of the body. You are a child of God. Now look at that when you're sinking. And realize you're a child of God who's forgiven and saved. He will take care of you. And God points to the morning. Can you make the morning come about? And what morning do Christians ever think of? What's the new morning, the new day God has given, other than Easter Day? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Every day is Easter Day. Every day is a day of victory over sin, death, and hell for the Christian. And God causes that joy in our hearts every day. Look at Easter, the new day I brought about. And then God says, Job, have you entered the recesses of death? And Job had not. But our Lord did. Our Lord himself, the Lord of life, entered the recesses of death on Good Friday and overcame it all in his resurrection. And now death is merely an open door to paradise. Death is sleep. We wake up and we're in heaven. The sting of death has been taken away. So you're sinking. You're drowning. Life is hard. Look to the foundation, Jesus. Look to the water of your baptism where God made you his child. Look to Easter, the new day. Look to Good Friday where he died for you. And have hope, church, and peace. God's lifting us up as he raised up Peter from sinking. You know, I like church bloopers. And sometimes you guys give me church bloopers that appeared in bulletins. And I read one this week that I found interesting and kind of cute. A church blooper that was in a church bulletin. The announcement said, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. I kind of can identify a little bit now and then. Whether we're a husband or a wife or a kid, sometimes we may feel like we're a piece of rummage sale. And we're cast off. Job feels that way. Peter, to a degree, cast off. When you're in that spot, the great example of Job and Peter is to cry out to God. Peter doesn't try to swim back. I'll swim back myself. Leave me alone, Jesus. I'll do it myself. Job doesn't try to do it himself. They cry out to God. Peter's great example is, Lord, save me. Save me, a drowning man, because I can't save myself. Job's great example is he cries out to God, God, come and talk to me. Help me. You're sinking, you're drowning, you're a piece of rummage sale. You think you're not special. Cry out to your God. And he puts out his arm, his holy word, and the sacrament. Look at creation. I can do that, I can take care of you. And more so, look at my son. Look at my son in the waters of your baptism. And he picks us up, and we go off and we live. Who do you feel sorry for? Don't feel sorry for Job. He's in heaven. Don't feel sorry for Peter. He's in heaven. God used those men wonderfully. And don't feel sorry for yourself. We are the children of God. We are baptized. For God so loves First Lutheran Church and school and all of us. Go forth in joy and peace and live this day. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.